Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. We'll read verses 11 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke 15, verses 11 through 18. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 reads, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, Luke chapter 15, we'll read verses 11 through 18 together responsively. "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church, the influence of our church, and Lord, what a special night. Lord, as our preacher reminded these young people, though they are passing a milestone, they're just getting started in the race. Reality and adulthood before them. Those of us that have been running the race, may we be there to help them. Most of all, would you use our preacher tonight? We all stand before you needy. We all stand before you in need of the truth that you have for us tonight. Please fill our preacher, fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Of course, again, this being our baccalaureate service tonight, I will speak in a very specific way to the young people who are graduating from high school, but the message will be to us all. I want to start out, and I want to give you a little something I think you'll enjoy. This past fall at a local university, there were two sophomores who were taking an organic chemistry and who did pretty well on all their quizzes, midterms, labs, etc. Going into the final exam, they had a solid A. These two friends were so confident going into that the final that the weekend before finals and just the days before the chemistry final, and it would have been on a Monday, they decided to go up to another college to a party with some friends. So they did this and had a great time. However, they ended up staying longer than they planned, and they didn't make it back until early Monday morning. Rather than taking the final then, they found Professor Smith after the final and explained to him why they missed it. They told him that they had gone to Virginia for the weekend and had planned to come back in time to study, but that they had a flat tire on the way back and didn't have a spare and couldn't get help for a long time, so they were late getting back to campus. Professor Smith thought this over and agreed that they could make up the final on the following day. The two students were elated and relieved. So they studied that night and went in the next day as the professor had told them to. He placed them both in separate rooms, handed each of them a test booklet, and told them to begin. They looked at the first problem, which was something simple, something about free radical formation, and it was worth 5 points. Wonderful, they both thought. This is going to be easy. They did that problem and then turned the page. They were unprepared, however, for what they saw on the next page, which said it was worth 95 points. One question, which tire? Earlier, we read a passage of scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, that said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Recently, I have had many appointments with the young people that are graduating from high school, many of which come see me. We call it a senior appointment. They come see the pastor and we talk about their future. We talk about the transition from high school into college and into the adult world. And though they have been young adults for the last few years, but they are going to a new level, and we talk about it. I always warn them that there is an element of young people that are Christian that when they're leaving their senior year of high school, if they're not careful, they'll mess up after graduation time. There are some who do very well. Hey, and you know something, there's some that do great all the way through graduation, and then they turn 18 and somehow they get off track with their lives. Tonight, I will teach you and teach all of us some things that we need to hear about this subject. To this graduating seniors, I want to talk to you in a very special way. To next year's seniors, listen to me, please. Parents, please listen to me. All who will graduate someday, all of our young people, listen very, very carefully. It's an age-old problem. Young people are brought up, taught right. When they launch into adulthood, they can make a lot of mistakes, and some that get them out of the will of God completely. I'm going to use a familiar story from the Bible to launch into the lesson tonight. It's found in Luke 15. We call it the story of the prodigal son. A young adult man decides he wants to leave home. He's going to leave mom and dad. He goes to his dad. He asks for his inheritance. Dad, I believe, with a broken heart, grants the son the wish. This young man then leaves. He gathers what dad gave him, gathered his few belongings, and he went to a far country. Once he got there, there was a famine in the land. He wasted his inheritance. He starts living very, very contrary to his upbringing. The economy gets rougher and rougher. He goes to work for a farmer. He becomes a pig feeder. He's given permission to eat the leftovers from the pigs' meals. He's lonely. He's hungry. His testimony's messed up. His money's gone. He has no good job. He's separated from his family. His life is a mess. Now, I want you to understand something. Later on, he comes to himself and realizes what mom and dad believed and what mom and dad had told him all along was best. And he has the good common sense to come back to God and back to mom and dad. And I'm glad for all of that. So often we'll say that this was a teenager. Now, if this was a teenager, I would believe it was a teenager that had probably come to age in this culture. I do believe it's a young man. In that same passage of Scripture, if you study it, you'll find that there are other parables. There's a parable of a lost coin. A coin gets lost and they look until they can find it. There was a lost sheep and they looked until they could find it. But when the boy left, they did not go looking for him. That gives us then the belief that this probably was not a kid. He had probably become a young man. If he had been a minor, dad would have pulled rank on him and told him he was going to stay put. Dad probably couldn't pull rank on him. And that's why dad, with a broken heart, probably gave him the inheritance and said, well, you're of age and I have to let you go. But I'm sure dad's heart said, you feel like you're very mature and you know everything you're about to do, but you're just launching into adulthood and it's harder than what you think. And dad said, fine, I'll let you do it, but I'm not sure it's the right thing. As you remember, when he left, the Bible said he went to a far country. I think had he been a minor, he wouldn't have been allowed to leave the country. You know, 12-year-olds can't just pack their duds and leave the country. He was a young man who had, in this culture, probably come to age. In our culture, he would have been someone turning 18 years of age, probably equal to a high school graduate. And he exercised his adult freedom, but he exercised it unwisely. See, what can happen to you young people is indeed you're becoming an adult. And you so desire to make decisions for yourself. I understand that. But you need to be careful that you don't want to make decisions for yourself so badly that you will make bad ones. You say, I want to choose. Well, we want you to choose too, but we want you to choose right. And you've got to choose right. And you need to be very careful. You know, not everybody makes the mistake of this prodigal son that when he came of age, he got himself into a mess. He started making his own decisions and he went off the deep end and left what he'd been taught at home. Not everybody is like that. Hey, and I'll tell you this. Those who do not make the mistake I'm about to teach you tonight, I'll promise you the things I'm teaching, they obeyed them somewhere along the line in their life. But to the ones that get off track after they turn 18 or they become adults, I'm about to tell you how you can keep from doing that and how you can keep from messing up. Now, first of all, let me start with the problem that we face. There are young people who live in godly homes and godly homes until they're 18 years of age, but somehow they don't catch what mom and dad were living and what mom and dad taught. For some of you, you've had a godly mom. You've had a godly dad. You had a godly home atmosphere, but you did not catch what was taught. Well, I'm telling you the problem that creates this thing of somebody turning 18, getting out of the house and going off the deep end and leaving what they had been trained to do for 18 years. The problem is they live in a godly home with a godly mom, with a godly dad, with a godly atmosphere, but they just didn't catch it. Let me say this. Parents, don't just demand that your children live your convictions and standards. Teach them in your home why they live them. And I have to say this. Parents, you are the ones that hold the primary responsibility to helping your children learn to do right. You know that the school is only supplementary. And the church is a supplement. Indeed, the church is a major part of it. And indeed, a Christian school is a major part of it. But you have to understand, you're to be teaching your kids the difference between right and wrong and what the Bible says. That you know, if you say my kids failed and it's the school's fault or the church's fault, you better take the time to make sure you're the one that's teaching them right and wrong. But see, here, there's the problem. They grow up in a godly home with a godly mom and a godly dad and a godly atmosphere, and somehow they don't catch it. A young person goes through school, and in some of these young people's cases, they went through 12 years at the Christian Academy, Martinsburg Christian Academy. Some of them were in school for 14 years at a good Christian school, and that's because they were in pre-K 3 and pre-K 4. And then 12 years from first grade and all the way through, and some 15 years in school, where they've got godly teachers and godly principals and classes on the Bible, but somehow they didn't catch what they were supposed to catch, and they turn 18 and they go off the deep end. A young person can attend a good soul-winning King James Bible Fundamental New Testament Baptist church like this one. Now, maybe not all of you say, I didn't necessarily grow up in a godly home. Okay. You say, I didn't get to go to the Christian school. Okay, I understand that. Every one of you have different opportunities and privileges, but every one of you have had an independent fundamental King James Bible old-fashioned Baptist church to attend. All of you have had that. You've had Sunday school teachers that were godly teachers. And if you came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you heard the Bible preached. You may not have the best pastor in the world, but your pastor's sincere, both this one and the one that you had prior to me. You had a church program to meet your needs. You had a music ministry with a godly music director, and youth ministry with godly youth workers, and a bus ministry with a godly bus director, and athletic programs with godly coaches. But how is it that you could not catch what was being taught? Now, for some of you, you had the family, the mom, the dad. You had the family atmosphere that was godly. You had the Christian school, and it was godly. And then you had a church, and it was godly. How could you not catch what was taught? You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And yet they don't catch what was going on, and they come to adulthood, and some of them leave it all and leave it behind and mess up their lives. Right. Now, that's the problem. And we see that. You've watched it. I've watched it. This is nothing new. And so, you know, young people, this is not something I'm teaching this senior class uniquely, although the sermon's for you tonight. It's something that you, every baccalaureate service in the United States of America be told. Every high school graduation class, every graduating senior's class could be told this. It's an age-old dilemma. That's the problem. All the opportunities of serving God, but then they don't follow through and they get off track. Now, what's the answer? Let me give you a handful of things that are the answer to this dilemma. Now, first of all, let me say this and make it very clear. Each one of you as an individual of your own free will must choose to live right and for God. The Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account to himself for God. Every one of you. You could blame your mommy. You could blame your daddy. You could blame your preacher. You could blame your school. You could blame your Sunday school teacher. You could blame anybody you want. But if you choose not to do right with your life, it is your fault. There is a personal responsibility that an adult must give answer to God in regard to. It's just like salvation. I can't get saved for you, and you can't get saved for me, and I can't receive Christ for you, and you can't receive Christ for me. And if you're going to do right, it's because you've chosen to do right. You can't make somebody. Yet look, folks, every one of us need to realize something. You can't make another adult live the Bible. They choose whether they're going to do it or not. Now, we can virtually offer the Christian life to you on a silver platter, but you must do your part. We can lay it at your feet. We can beg you. We can drag you to church. We can do all the things that we've tried to do for 18 years, set it out there, put it out there, lay it out there, garnish it, make it as exciting as we can. But really, bottom line is you're going to choose what you're going to do. And every parent here, you must realize your child one day will choose whether they're going to serve God or not. These young people could have good parents, but yet reject what the parents tried to pass on to them. You say, well, my kids are little right now, and that's not going to happen to them. You might want to be careful. Because you will find out that every adult chooses what they will do. And young people, in case you want to live God's way, if you'll follow some suggestions I make for you tonight, I think I can help you not to make the mistake that I'm telling you about tonight. I'm going to give you some ways. First of all, let me say, let the truth of the Bible become the final authority in all areas of your life. If you don't want to get off track now, if you want to stay right with God, if you want to stay in church, if you want to do right, if you want God to be pleased, you let the truth of the Bible become the final authority in all areas of your life. Now, listen to me. Mom and dad are authorities in your life. When you're young, they have God's authority to be your final authority. In other words, when you're growing up in mom and dad's home and dad says, sit down and shut up, I'd recommend you sit down and shut up. You say, what right do they have? God gave them the right to tell you to sit down and shut up. God gave them the right to be the final authority. And when you're in their home, what they say goes. That's what the Bible teaches. But wait a minute. When you come of age and you leave their home, mom and dad are not the final authority anymore. You better have a final authority that is even more powerful than them. Your Christian school, those of you that got to go to a Christian school, or even some of you that went to the public school, rules are to be obeyed. At our Christian school, you had a handbook, you read it, you agreed to follow the rules, you're to follow those rules. There, it is an authority. The Christian school was an authority in your life. The rules are to be obeyed. Some of you gave your word that you would obey those rules. And those rules are found in the scripture. But I have to tell you something. You're graduating, and when you graduate and leave school, your school is no longer an authority in your life. And you know that. Some of you are saying, I can't wait to get out from underneath that Christian school's rules. You're right. That authority will cease in your life. You say, I can't wait to get out of the house. You're right. That authority will cease in your life. And I'm trying to tell you, if you don't make the truth of the Bible the final authority in all things in your life, you're about to change. Yes, sir. Your church and pastors are authorities in your life. They should be respected and obeyed. But they in themselves are not the final authority. They're not the final authority. And out of all of these, the pastor probably, scripturally, comes the closest of keeping an authority in your life after you leave home. You're never supposed to do without a pastor and his guidance, ever. But, look, you turn 18 years of age, you better make sure that you have grabbed a hold of the ultimate final authority. You are an authority in your life. And when you leave home, sure, you say, I'll become my own boss. Yes, you will. And you should obey yourself and require yourself to do what's right. But just so you know, young people, you say, can't wait till I'm 18, I can do what I want. You show me where that's in the Bible. You are not to turn 18 and do what you want. You're to turn 18 and do what God wants. You are not your final authority. The school you went to is not your final authority. Mom and dad are not your final authority. Your pastor and church is not your final authority. God is your final authority. And if you will make God the final authority in all aspects of your life, you'll continue to do what you're supposed to do, and your life will not be messed up, and it will not change for the worse after you leave those other authorities. Right. When you were a child, you grew up, and I know most of you very well. When you were a child, you grew up believing what your parents taught you to believe and required of you. You started developing into an adult. You began to question some of the things that they believed. Now, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you started saying, I want to know about that. I want to learn that. That's okay. But let me tell you something. Your parents believe what they believe for themselves because they had made the Bible the final authority in their life. Now, you need to do the same. It's okay for you to lean on mom and dad's beliefs, but now it's time for you to believe the Bible for yourself. It's got to become the final authority in your life. Your parents, their act of making the Bible their final authority, by the way, is not enough for you. There's some of you, you could stand up here and say, my dad believes that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. It's the final authority in life. That's good for your dad, but that's not good enough for you. You got to do the same thing. You have to do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. And I'm telling you, young people, why people change. You've watched people turn 18, go off the deep end, get out of church, go out and join up with churches and people they shouldn't be around. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They finally came into adulthood. They had not made the Bible the final authority in their life. And they left mom and dad and all the other authorities. They became their own authority, started deciding what they wanted to do. So, if you don't want that to happen to you, number one, I say you must let the truth of the Bible become the final authority in your life. Number two, realize truth does not change. Realize that truth does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now, here the Bible says that we're sanctified through His Word, and His Word is truth, and truth does not change. If the Bible then is your final authority, and the Bible is truth, and it is, then your final authority does not change. You say, I'm going to turn 18. A lot of things are going to change. The final authority of the Bible does not change. What your parents taught you and required of you in their home from the Bible does not change because you turned 18 or you graduated. What your Christian school taught you and required of you from the Bible does not change because you're 18 or you've graduated. What your church or pastor taught you from the Bible does not change because you're 18 or you graduated. You should not graduate and change because the Bible is to be the final authority of your life and truth does not change. Young people realize no matter how old you are, truth does not change. If truth was truth when you were 8, it's still truth when you're 18. It's still truth when you're 28 and 38 and 48 and 58 and 68 and 78 and 88 and 98. And if you can make it to 108, the Word of God is still true. It does not change. And you are not to change if the truth and the Bible is your final authority. That means no matter where you are, truth does not change. So your boss, which is the truth, your authority in life, the Bible, it expects the same out of you no matter where you're at. You say, I'm leaving home. That's okay. The Bible's your final authority. And if the Bible's the final authority in your life, it doesn't matter where you are. Truth does not change and you're supposed to do the right thing. If you're at home, you're supposed to do what the Bible says. If you're at college off somewhere, you're to do what the Bible says. If you own your own apartment, you know what? I'm going to get me my own apartment so I can go do what I want. No, you're to go do what God wants. John, I'm going to live here in the United States. I'm going to go to France. Did you know, even in France, you're supposed to do what the Bible wants you to do. So I'm going to go join the military so I can do what I want. Well, buddy, I'm going to tell you twice that's not going to happen. First of all, the United States government will make you do what you're told. And you won't turn your nose up or roll your eyes. And if they slap you, it will be a little tap on your lips. They'll kick you around base until you can't see straight, until you learn how to obey. But may I say, secondly, even if you join the military, there's somebody more powerful than Uncle Sam. It's a Heavenly Father. And truth does not change. And if you're in the military, you're still supposed to do what the Bible says. It doesn't matter where you go. Truth does not change. I said, number one, make the Bible the final authority in everything you do in life. Number two, then realize truth never changes. The Bible doesn't change. Number three, do you know the truth of the Bible is the same for all of us? God didn't write a whole bunch of Bibles so that they apply to different people. He wrote one so that it applies to everybody. We're all to obey the Bible. We're not to pick and choose what we want to live. 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's for us all. So don't get this misunderstanding. The religious world of today, They're messing with the old time religion and truth. And they're messing and liberalizing everything. Let me explain, young people. Christianity is not a buffet. You're not to pick what you want and take what you like. No, you take it all. You say, well, you know what? I want to be a soul winner, but I don't want to come to church on Sunday night. I'm sorry. If God told you to be in church on Sunday night, you don't get to pick and choose. You're not at an ice cream bar where you pick what sprinkles you want on top of your peanut butter flavored ice cream. It's life. So you see, the truth of the Bible is the same for us all. Now, not everybody has grown to understand and live it all, but God's intent is that eventually we all believe all the Bible. See, it's not based on what we personally want, but it's based on what God wants. What we're all to be growing toward the same biblical belief and lifestyle. He said, well, preacher, I've just decided that my mom and dad, they believe the strict parts of the Bible, and I don't like that. It doesn't matter what you like. It matters what the Bible says. And mom and dad is not the final authority in your life. The Bible is. You're to do what the Bible says. Now, folks, we won't all have the same opinions, but we should all have the same biblical convictions. So, you know, let me explain something to you young people. My convictions are not my choice. They were forced upon me. They're God's. I don't enjoy them all. I don't necessarily like giving 10% of my income to the church. So why do you do it? I was told to. You say, by who? God. Well, you don't have to do it. Yes, I do. He doesn't give me a choice. He doesn't give you one either. So I just decided not to believe that part. Well, you're wrong. You know, the same is true. Listen, maybe you don't understand it. There's some things that God requires of your mom and dad that's not necessarily easy for them, but they do it because God said to. It's God commanded us to. That's a part of adulthood. My mommy and daddy, when I was growing up, made me do what's right. They thumped me on the head and said, Jeff, now get out of here and go out there and make yourself do what's right. I grabbed me up a Bible and said, Bible, you tell me what to do. I'll let my Heavenly Father give me commands and tell me what to do. And I'm going to have to obey it whether I like it or not. And everybody in here, that's how you're supposed to live. You know, we don't make up our own convictions. They're forced upon us from a God that loves us and knows what's best for us. Folks, when we all get to heaven, we're going to believe perfectly alike. There'll be no variance. And that's God's goal for us in its purest form down here. And so I said this, if you don't want to mess up, let the Bible be the final authority in your life. I said, number two, then realize truth does not change. I said, number three, then understand that the truth of the Bible is the same for all of us. Next, you should be willing to change you, but never try to alter or change the truth. You be willing to change you, but never try to alter or change the truth. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You're to obey God. You're to put God before yourself. He knows better for you anyway. He'll take better. His plan for you is better than your plan for yourself. I'll guarantee it. He's the all-knowing one. He'll take good care of you. See, you're to make you like the Bible. You're not to try to make the Bible like you. That's right. Let me say it again. You're to make you like the Bible. You're not to try to make the Bible like you. The Bible's not going to adjust to you. That's right. You say, well, I'm 18. Everything's going to adjust now. The Bible's not adjusting. It's not adjusting. It's the same truth that you grew up in your home and in your church. It's not to be tampered with. Hey, you know, you see a big old 18-wheeler and they got a sign painted on the side of it that says, go to the church of your choice. That's a crock. That's trash. You're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You're to go to the church of God's choice. If I go down to that church, that fella gets tough and he insists that the Bible's true. Right. Right. And I want to go someplace where I like it. You better go someplace where God likes it. Don't try to reason away the truth of the Bible, young people. Don't try to make it fit the lifestyle that you want to live. Don't manipulate your final authority. That's where the Bible changers and the humanists come in. That's why we need a pure Word of God. I'll just tell you something. People start fiddling with the Word of God before long. They've got it all loosened up to the point where anything goes. The truth does not change because you don't want to live it. If what mom and dad have taught you and what your church has taught you, and that is from the Bible, it's not going to change even if you don't live it. It's still going to be true. And so I said this. I said, let the Bible become the final authority in your life. I said, then realize the Bible does not change. Truth does not change. Then I said, the truth of the Bible is the same for all of us, and all of us ought to be living the same convictions that are printed in the Bible. It's not a buffet. You don't pick and choose what you want. Then I said, you should be willing to change you, but never try to alter or change the truth to fit you, but you change you to fit the truth. Then I'd recommend this. I would only be best friends with those who have made the Bible their final authority. Be best friends with only those that have made the Bible their final authority. In John 15, verse 14, it says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That's what Jesus did. Hey, good friends are those who have God's book as their final authority. Now, I think you ought to be friendly to everybody, but I don't think you ought to be best friends with somebody that are truth rejectors. Why? They're going to mess you up. Be careful of being close with others who were raised right, but they began rejecting the truth. Those authority rejectors run in packs like hyenas. The truth rejectors lure people in to console them about their rebellion, that they have not made the Bible the final authority. They too rejected what mom and dad and their preacher and their school and everybody else taught them. And they're looking for a pack of people to make them feel good about their disobedience. Happens all the time. Let me go on. I have to do a funeral for that fly. Number next, listen to this carefully. Learn for yourself from the Bible what it says and where. Learn for yourself what the Bible says and where. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. It says in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. Fully known. Let me explain to you, young people. You need to know why you're to come to church faithfully. It's in the Bible. You know, there's some of you, because you're good kids, if you're not careful, you say, well, my mom and dad told me to, my preacher told me to, so I have been, but I've got to tell you, that's not going to be good enough in the next year. Right. It's not going to hold water. And sometimes it's because you've been a good kid and you've just believed everything that the people around you have told you, but I've got to tell you something. The devil or some evil person's going to come along and they're going to cast doubt on that. And because you don't know why you believe what you believe, they're going to lure you away and pull you into sin and they're going to hurt you. Right. You need to know why you come to church faithfully. You need to know why you go soul winning. And it's in the Bible. You need to know why you go to a Baptist church, and it's in the Bible. And you need to know why you boys keep your hair cut. It's in the Bible. You boys need to know why you don't wear dresses. It's in the Bible. You girls, why you don't wear pants. It's in the Bible. And you need to know why you can't lose your salvation. It's in the Bible. I know what's in the Bible. You're not going to change me. My dad's not going to change me. My mom's not going to change me. No pastor's going to change me. I believe the Bible. I'll stand up and I'll fight for it and I'll die for it. And you won't change me. I know what the Bible says. Yeah. That's where you got to get yourself. And the people that last in the right kind of church are the ones that know what the Bible says. See, you got to make this book your final authority. And believe that truth does not change. And you've got to put this book above everything else in life. You, for yourself. Establish it in your home. Girls, don't marry a man that won't do what I just told you. Fellas, you say, I wonder if she's pretty. But you better make sure she obeys the Word of God or you're going to be in a mess. And so you've got to cling to the Word of God for what you are and what you believe. And not only that, you need to get close to God for yourself. Get close to God for yourself. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You must personally get to know God. You got to love Him. You got to trust Him. You got to obey Him. You got to read His Word. And you got to pray. And you got to mean it. If not, let me explain. Mom being close to God won't work for you anymore. There are some of you who have been blessed because your mama walks with God. And you don't even realize the protection that's come in your life because of your mom. But you're about to walk away from your mommy. And mama being close to God is not adequate for you. And daddy being close to God is not adequate for you. Your pastor being close to God won't do it for you as an individual. Your church being right with God won't do it for you as an individual. Your Christian school can't protect you anymore. Your Sunday school teacher having a relationship with God is not adequate for you. If you are personally close to God, you will do the scriptural thing because the Bible is the final authority in your life and your life will not change and you'll go on living biblically. But nobody else's closeness to God will take care of you. You have to do that for yourself. And let me recommend that you don't let the devil lie to you concerning the teaching that I'm giving you tonight. Mark chapter 8, verse 14, these words were spoken to the disciples. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they had any in the ship. Now, I give you that verse because I want you to understand the context. Four verses later in verse 18, it says, Jesus is speaking and the disciples are being told this, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember? Here's somebody that had been blinded to the truth. Young people, don't be blinded to the truth. Don't be blinded to the truth that what you sow, you're going to reap. You better get it. I'm telling you, you sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. Don't be blinded. The Bible says in James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Death. I'm just telling you, if you don't do what's right to do, it is going to cost you terribly. If you really trace the lives of the people that were reared right and reared in the right atmospheres and go out and get away from God and you look at their life and you look at how it turns out, sin brings forth death and they reap what they have sown. Right. Let me review. I'll make one more point and we'll be done. I said this, if you want to stay right, you first of all let the truth of the Bible become the final authority in all areas of your life. Secondly, realize truth does not change. Thirdly, the truth of the Bible is the same for all of us. Number four, you should be willing to change you, but never try to alter the truth. Next, only be close friends with those who have made the Bible their final authority. Next, learn for yourself what the Bible says and where and cling to it for yourself. Next, get close to God for yourself. Then I said, don't be blinded. And then finally, and this is the last point. Until you have made the Bible your final authority and have learned what and where to find the truth, trust your spiritual leader's beliefs. Until you have made the Bible your final authority and you have learned what and where to find the truth, then trust your spiritual leaders and their beliefs. You say, well, I don't know what to believe. Then cling to what your preacher's telling you. You say, I don't know what to believe. Then cling to what mom and dad have taught you from the Bible. So I'm not sure what to believe. Then cling to what your Christian school taught you. That's better than you doing the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, you're young Christians. You might not know what to believe. If you'll trust me, he said, I'll lead you according to the Bible until you can claim the Bible for your own. You got a godly mama and you say, I'm not real sure what to believe. And you, then believe what mom tells you to believe. Now, I'm saying to you, you that are seniors, I'm saying to you, you better cling to the Bible for yourself. You say, I'm a little confused. If you're confused, stick with mom. You say, I'm confused, then stick with your pastor. I'm confused, then stick with the church and the teaching that you've been given. I'm not worried about you finding all of a sudden that, oh, what you were taught was not true. I'm not worried about that at all. I want you to dig into the Bible. I want you to. I'm just going to figure out if that's true. Good. I love it. Go for it. You can buy you 20 Bibles if you want. All King James, of course. But you get you 20 Bibles, memorize them completely. I'm not intimidated by you studying the Bible while I'm preaching. You will find what's believed. You'll find the truth. Prodigal son said, I'm leaving. Probably right around graduation time, would be my guess. And he reaped what he had sown. He came to his senses, came back and said, Mom, Dad, you're smarter than what I thought. Preacher, you're smarter than what I thought. The problem is there were all sorts of other prodigals in the county that didn't make it back. I hate to see that happen to you. If you would like to continue, the Bible says ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you didn't obey the truth? You hindered you. If you'll do what I taught you, this will make a difference in your life. Parents, I hope you listen to what I said tonight. Teach your kids why you believe what you believe. Just don't demand obedience. Though, I think kids, you ought to do what your mom and dad say, period. But teach them why. For the Doss, for the Calling, we'll teach why we believe what we believe in that Christian school. Brother Whitehouse, we'll teach why we believe what we believe in that college. The Bible is the final authority, not some denomination, not your opinion, not tradition, the Word of God. The Word of God, let it be the final authority. And that'll keep us on the right track. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to come tonight and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and maybe you're a graduating senior and you need a moment at this altar, maybe some of you need to come down here and say, you know what, Lord, I will let the Bible be my final authority. I'll let it make the decisions in my life. I'm going to believe what mom and dad taught me until I figure out what the Bible says. But once I find out what the Bible says, I'll obey it. And if you can't do that, then you're already rebellious. But they're not a one of you that are graduating, that you're a dumb little kid. You're not. You'll decide. You'll decide whether you're going to live according to the Bible or you're not. You'll decide that. Maybe there are parents in here. What you need to do is, though you insist of obedience, you need to insist on some training so that they know why they're obeying what they're obeying. If you need the altar, it will be open. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet.